Welcome to the Link to Prevention podcast, hosted by the CASARC Prevention Team.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about some of the ways kids tell an adult that they've been hurt or experienced abuse. This is part 5 of a 6-part series, so if you haven't listened to the other episodes yet, we encourage you to go back and check them out.
So we are on part 5 of our 6-part series, and today we're talking about kids telling adults they've been hurt. The reason we talk about this today is because especially younger children are not always super clear, straightforward, or articulate about their experiences. So today we're going to shed a little bit of light on how kids tell and what might be some other indicators that something might be going on with a kiddo. So I guess, Hannah, tell us about this. What are some things in our experience how kids tell? What are some things that in the ways in which kids tell adults that they've been hurt?
Yeah, just to kick us off, I wanted to emphasize what you were saying, Chris, that it's not always the most straightforward disclosure. That kids are not always going to come right out and say what happened to them for a variety of different reasons. I mean, sometimes kids won't be straightforward because they don't know how to explain what happened or don't totally understand what happened to them. So they try to say something or sort of explain it, and sometimes it won't make a ton of sense. Sometimes kids won't feel really comfortable saying what happened to them. Maybe they feel like they did something wrong, or they are to blame, or maybe someone's telling them that they're to blame for what happened. So they're afraid to come right out and say it, but try to tell you in a way that they're not really telling you. So it can be really difficult sometimes to understand if a child especially is trying to come forward and disclose, which goes back to our conversation in the last part of how important it is to stay curious and ask follow-up questions and check in with your child to try to really understand what they're trying to tell you. Sometimes it isn't anything, right? Sometimes kids are weird, and that's okay. And they're just saying something, and it isn't actually that they got hurt or were abused. But those follow-up questions are really going to help you understand if that is what it was and help you try to clarify maybe what happened and if they do need to get some additional support.
I have a lot of experience in working with parents after they have found out that their child may have been abused or harmed, and helping them to process that and understand that. And something that I used to hear a lot, even from the kids, is they did think that they told their parents multiple times about this abuse. But like you said, Hannah, it wasn't straightforward. And so that adult may not have known that that's what they were trying to tell them. And so there are some different ways and different things that children might say that is their way of saying that there is something happening or that person might be hurting them. But being able to ask those follow-up questions will kind of help you learn more. And some of the ways that we saw that were, number one is avoidance. That's a really big one that kids will fall back on. So that's like they all of a sudden don't want to see a certain person, or they don't want to go to a certain space or interact with a certain group or anything like that. And it will come up as like, well, I don't want to go to grandpa's house. And it's like, well, you have to go there. We go there every weekend, right? But that's kind of how that might start, is like, well, I don't want to. I don't want to go. I don't want to see them. That could be, you know, a child testing their defiance or testing those boundaries, but it also could be that they are avoiding that person for a specific reason. So again, making sure you ask like, oh, like what's going on? Like, why don't you want to go to grandpa's house? Or why don't you want to go to the community center anymore? Is there something going on there? And making sure that can be part of those follow-up questions. Another way that they might tell you without actually telling you is things that they're observing or things that they have noticed that they are telling you about. So describing somebody's itchy beard, right? Like the neighbor has an itchy beard, and it's like, okay, why do you know that? Trying to be curious, like we said in the last episode. So there might be some things that they say that they've noticed about somebody or that they know about somebody that doesn't quite make sense as to why they would know that if that person hadn't been like physically close to them. It's a good way of knowing that. And the last one is kids love feeling words. A lot of times that is one of the first things that kids learn how to do is like, I'm mad, I'm sad, I am confused. And so listening to when they tell you that they feel a certain way about someone, that babysitter makes me feel weird, or that babysitter makes my tummy hurt. Or if they're describing those feelings of like every time you're trying to bring them somewhere, or every time that you know that they're going somewhere, if you see these physical manifestations of anxiety, right? So like a tummy ache, headache, things like that, they can be pretty good at describing how they're feeling, but they might not know how to connect that with a person or with an experience that they're having. So following up on that, like, what do you mean by you feel weird? Like, why does she make you feel weird? Why does he make you feel weird? And kind of being able to ask again those questions and be curious about the things that they are describing to you, because that might be their way of telling you. But that is something that you will often have to ask to get that closer insight in. Knowing when something is out of the ordinary or not a way that your kid has been experiencing or interacting with a person, when that changes, like that can also be a really good indication that something might be going on too. But they don't always have to say things out loud either. And like you said, they might not know that anything is happening, but there might be some other indications. And I know, Chris, you have a lot of experience with knowing those nonverbal things that might be going on.
One of the things that I think is important to know, one of the pieces of data that's out there, is that on average, a child has to tell between 7 to 9 times before an adult will take action on the harm. And I think that in part is because, well, in part because kids don't disclose abuse to begin with very often. But the other piece of that is sometimes when they do tell, they tell in ways that may not be complete or do not actually set off, trip the alarm bells of the adults who are listening. So yes, continuing to have asking clarifying questions, demonstrating curiosity if something is vague. The other thing that I think outside of actually telling and talking, the other things that can be indicators that there is something wrong, something amiss, is what we call behavioral indicators. And these behavioral indicators are basically any sudden dramatic change in your child. And we've seen these changes. These changes can be in kids very, very young, 4 or 5 years old, all the way into teenagers. We can see some of these behavioral indicators crop up. Some of the main ones that we see specifically around abuse is changes in things like eating. Is a child eating a lot more than they used to? Are they eating a lot less than they used to? Is a child suddenly gaining weight, suddenly losing weight? Again, are these sudden changes? Are there sudden changes in their sleeping patterns? Are kids sleeping a lot more, not sleeping as much? Are they having nightmares? Are they reporting nightmares to you? Or are they even doing things like what we consider like regressive behaviors? Sometimes kids who had no problem sleeping on their own all of a sudden may start wetting the bed or decide that they don't want to sleep by themselves anymore and they need to sleep with mom and dad. So this regressive behavior can be a sign that something's wrong. It could be thumb sucking for some younger kids. Maybe a child who had sucking their thumb starts sucking their thumb again. These are all things to pay attention to. But a big one really is any new anxiety or fear. Those are always indicators, right, that something could be going on. And I would track where those fears are. Are those new anxieties and fears around certain people, certain types of people, connected to certain places? We know that a lot of times bedrooms can be scary for kids, especially after abuse. And so changes around bedtime, fears around bedtime, rituals around bedtime, any of those things that you notice as a parent change suddenly, it's important to check in on. You know, and I guess one of the last ones too is just kind of withdrawal, which again, withdrawal from the family, withdrawal from their friends. This could be withdrawal from activities that they used to enjoy. Any sort of withdrawal from activities or people or places that they used to enjoy, that could be an indicator. And again, these are not indicators that a child is necessarily being sexually abused, but these are indicators that something is going on and it's important to check in about.
Yeah. Something else, Chris, I know that we've talked about before too, is that the idea that even if a child sometimes does disclose to you, what they say might still prompt more questions or more curiosity. And even if they do disclose, like, the way that they do it or who they're talking about might not always be exactly what's going on.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you know, as an example, you know, we were talking to a parent whose child did disclose, but the way they did it was in a really roundabout way and actually sort of implicated people who were not involved in the abuse. There was a child who had, they spent time with a babysitter, and one day the kid's home with mom, and mom's going to get ready to have the kid get ready for a bath, and said, okay, it's time to get ready for the bath. And the kid starts crying. This was brand new. This was a brand new situation. The child has always enjoyed bath time, never had a problem with it. And now all of a sudden they had a problem with bath time when they were crying. So mom, of course, put her curiosity hat on and began a conversation. You know, what's going on? How come you don't want to take a bath today? And eventually the child said, well, I don't want to see dad's penis. And mom began to panic. She began to have thoughts that is her husband abusing her child? What an odd thing to say. Her husband never bathes naked with the child. And so she really began to have a lot of questions and concerns start flooding her mind. But what she wound up eventually finding out was that, yes, while her child was being abused, it wasn't her husband. It was the husband of the babysitter, who was also male. And what the child just knew was that when she took a bath at her neighbor's house, there was a penis involved. And she knew that her father had a penis and did not want, figured that, you know, when bath time came, that there was going to be a male penis involved. And that was the connection she had. But actually, dad was completely innocent. Dad had never touched the child, harmed the child in any way. But the way that child told made the mom question what was being said, made her, and of course initially panic, but through that conversation learned that her husband actually had never done anything wrong. So yes, I think it's important to have clarifying conversations, to be curious, and even when kids say things that can be upsetting, it's important to continue to follow up on those.
Yeah. And after hearing all this and these really important tips, definitely tune in next time for our last part of the series, where we're going to talk about how to support kids who've been hurt and how you can support your own kids if this has happened to them.
Until next time, stay curious, be kind, and take care. To find out more about the services offered, and to stay up to date on everything that Prevention is doing, check us out online at ksarc.org. That's KCSARC.org.